Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. What a blessing that is. Do I have the microphone turned down up here? I do. All right. There we go. We're good to go now. All right. Good to see each and every one of you tonight. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20 this evening. And going to be reading out of this passage here in just a few moments, verses 1 down through verse 8. I encourage you this evening to plug into God's Word this evening. And I know sometimes we get to the middle of the week and it's been a difficult week already. And of course, Pastor always encourages us, half the battle is getting here and being in your place, but then getting what the Lord has for you. No doubt we have a message from God's Word, so let me encourage you tonight to plug in to the Word of God and the preaching and see what the Lord would have for us. If you found your place in the Bible, if you go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word, Numbers chapter 20, I'm going to read verses 1 down through verse 8, and then we'll pray, and we'll get into the message tonight. The Bible says in verse 1, "Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, unto the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there." The Bible says in verse 2, "And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt, to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed, or of figs, or of vines, or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink." And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. And it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so that thou shalt give the congregation and their beast drink." And I want to preach a message tonight entitled, "Forgetting the Goodness of God." Forgetting the goodness of God. Let's pray and then you can be seated this evening. Lord, we're so thankful for your blessings, Lord. We're thankful that for the work that you've done on Calvary, Lord. And as the song just said, Lord, no one else could do what you've done for us. Lord, we're thankful and we're grateful. But Lord, there is a time in our lives when it becomes easy to forget the work that you've done, the good things that you've done in our lives. And sometimes we find ourselves in a desperate situation. Lord, sometimes we find ourselves in difficulty and hardships. Lord, in those moments, the devil would blind us from your goodness. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to never forget the goodness and the things that you've done for us. I pray that as we study this passage tonight, Lord, we would see this message become abundantly clear. We love you. We thank you for these things. I pray that you'd bless our services tonight. In your name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. I don't think this would be a mystery or a passage that probably all of us have heard preached on before or have read this story in the Scriptures. And here we find the Israelites are 40 years removed from Egypt. They've been wandering the wilderness for the past 40 years. And the Bible says they find themselves in a place where they have a need, find themselves dealing with a hardship or a difficult situation. They find themselves in need of a water in this passage, and so the Bible says they began to chide with Moses. That word chide is a strong word. It means to scold or to complain, and literally they were holding Moses responsible for the fact that they had no water. They began to be very upset and very angry with him, and I find it interesting in verse 3, the Bible says these people began to think, maybe we would be better off if we weren't even alive. If we were dead, and the Bible says there in verse 3, they said, "Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord." These people thought, man, if only God would have allowed us to die. And there had been times as they looked back in their history, and even over the last several years, as they looked back to the wilderness dwellings, that there were times that some of their brothers and sisters were consumed, and death had come upon them. And they come to this point in this passage where they need water, and they found themselves in a personal struggle and a personal hardship, and they say, well, maybe we were better off dead. Maybe we just should have died with everybody else. And can I say that that is a bad place to be for a believer in God? We feel that we're better off dead than alive. a bad place for each and every one of us to be, and it's especially a bad place when your life should be a living testimony to God's goodness. And may I just say tonight that every Christian's life should be a testimony to God's goodness. Listen, if you are saved tonight, you've asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, it doesn't matter what other things that you've dealt with in your life. And God is still good, and God has been great in your life because He's given you the gift of salvation. And our lives need to be a living testimony of salvation and God's goodness to us. Everywhere we go, we ought to be showing those things. And can I just say also that those brethren that had died before them did not die because God let them down. They died because they had transgressed against God's commandments. They had done things that they were not supposed to do, and they knew better, and they had died as a result of God's punishment upon them. And if you look at these children of Israel that we see here, if you trace the history of Israel all the way back to the beginning of time, you'd see that God had provided for them from the beginning of time. And ever since the children of Israel had looked to God, God would take care of them and provide for them. The matter of needing water, it may have seemed like a big need to them, but it was not so big that God could not provide for them. These folks that we see here in this passage of Numbers chapter 20, they have all they've ever known is God's goodness in their lives. They did not even experience being in Egypt and being under captivity. That was for their parents and their grandparents. These had all been a next generation or a newer generation, and all these kids had ever known was the goodness of God in their lives. Even in the wilderness, God had provided for them day after day, and God had met every need that they had had for 40 years. God was good to them, and God was meeting their needs. And yet in their minds, the goodness of God had been misrepresented. Perhaps they'd forgotten about the good times, and their thinking was this: listen, if God is good, why did He bring us into this wilderness? When in all actuality, their thinking should have been, because God is good. God's delivered us out of Egypt and is taking us to the promised land. You see, sometimes Satan misrepresents God's goodness in our lives. I want you to look at verse 5. We see a perfect example of this. He says, "And wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt?" Look what they said, "to bring us into this evil place." Now look at that passage. I begin to scratch my head because, listen, we understand what Egypt was. Egypt was full of wickedness and idolatry. The Bible says they were under the hands of cruel taskmasters, and now they're looking at their captivity as being a place of appealing, and they're looking at their freedom as a place of bondage. I see that the devil has begun to work in their minds and misrepresent the goodness of God. You know what, Christian? I find that it's exactly what Satan does with us. In our Christian life, we look at the spiritual freedom that we have, and many times he gets us to look at the negative things in our lives. Perhaps look back to a life filled with sin, and a life in which it seemed like we had, in our own lives, freedom to choose the way we would travel. And Satan makes the captivity of sin look appealing, and he's caught many Christians by causing them to forget the goodness of God in their lives. You see, we've been given a life of spiritual freedom. We've been given a life of spiritual freedom, not in captivity of sin. And instead of looking at all the good things that God has done for us, many times we can focus on the negatives in life. The personal problems and the hardships that we go through. And listen, if we're not careful as Christians, instead of focusing on all that God has done for us, and instead of focusing on the blessings in our lives, we look to one area. And maybe a personal struggle, a personal hardship, a difficulty that we're going through, and we forget all about God's goodness in our lives. And we come to the same place that we see the children of Israel here, murmuring and complaining. Can I just say tonight, that is a sin against God Almighty. It's many times where we find ourselves in our Christian life. And yet, when we look at Numbers 20, what we see here is nothing new for the children of Israel, although I want you to understand it is something new for these children of Israel. I want you to go back to Exodus chapter 17, because in Exodus chapter 17, we see a very similar story of the children of Israel. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 17 and verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin, after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink." Looks familiar. Found themselves in a similar circumstance here. Look what they did in verse 2. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? We see a similar behavior in a similar circumstance. What I find interesting is that passage there in Exodus chapter 17 takes place somewhere between 2 and 3 months. I'm sorry, between 1 and 2 months after they had exited Egypt. Roughly about 45 days after they had come out of Egypt, they find themselves in a place of need. And listen, again, all they had ever known over the past 45 or so days was God caring for them and God meeting their needs. And yet, the very moment that they had a need, they begin to complain and begin to chide. I want you to think about some of the things that they had seen over the last several weeks and last month or so that would show the goodness of God. Think about this. They had seen the 10 plagues bring deliverance from centuries of bondage. They saw God bring those plagues along and deliver them out of there. They got to the Red Sea and they looked at that Red Sea and they saw Pharaoh's army closing behind them and they saw God begin to part those waters to the left and the right, and they began to walk across some dry ground, and they knew that was by the hand of God and God's goodness in their lives. They saw the Egyptian army dismantled and all of them killed there in that same sea there, and they saw God bring deliverance from the Egyptian army. They got to a point in time and they came to the waters of Marah and they began to drink of those waters, and someone said, these waters are poison, or these waters are bitter, we can't drink this. And they saw God take and turn those waters into drinkable waters. And all along life's way they had seen God do great things. They had an all-you-can-eat quail buffet right there in the wilderness. God brought these things in. Only God could have done these things. And God began to rain manna down from heaven on a daily basis, meeting their needs. And for 45 to 50 days, they had seen these things. The Israelites hadn't lacked a thing. And the moment they do have a need, the Bible says they complained. Very quickly forgot the goodness of God in their lives. And God's provision and protection in their lives. And while I say that these two stories are very similar, there are differences. The first difference, we know there was 40 years that separate the two. In Exodus, you would see parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles. And then in Numbers 20, you would see sons and daughters, grandsons and granddaughters, nieces and nephews. And what I find amazing and interesting is that when they faced a problem, their reaction to that problem was exactly the same. They reacted very much the same. And no doubt as I look at Numbers chapter 20 and I see the reaction of these children after they had learned of what had happened with their parents, I begin to think, boy, that's an indictment on their parents, isn't it? It's an indictment upon that previous generation who had only seen God's goodness in their lives. And when I see that Numbers chapter 20, I think about that. And listen, as Satan had misrepresented God's goodness to those parents, they had turned and misrepresented God's goodness to their children and their grandchildren. Why weren't they sharing these stories of God's deliverance with their children? You think for the 40 years of the wilderness that those parents, every night they put their kids to bed, they would say, there was one time, young people, that we were in bondage in Egypt. But our God has been good and brought us out of there. And He's taking us to the promised land. And I have to ask myself this question. Why weren't these stories being told to the children? And by the way, I want you to understand, lest we put too much blame on the former generation, while it was an indictment on the former generation, it was not an excuse for these younger people to act the way they acted. They should have been taught these things, but they as well had experienced God's goodness in their own lives. And this generation would be held accountable, but it certainly is an indictment. And listen, I want to make a statement tonight, and I want you to get this statement because this is really the premise for the rest of the message tonight, and that is you are making a choice right now in your life to either represent the goodness of God in your life or to represent your own personal hardships and struggles. And as we live this life as Christians, listen, we understand that God is good. And we, if we began to take account, could see blessing after blessing. And yet, we're either making our choice to live this life either representing God's goodness in our lives, or we're living this life representing our own personal struggles and hardships. And when God has been so good to us, sometimes we can just walk through this life dragging our head and saying, woe is me. Can't believe I'm dealing with this issue or that issue. Listen, this is true of each of us. And when we make this choice, it affects everyone around us. I wonder how differently these sons and daughters would have reacted had their parents explained to him how good God was. I wonder if these parents had simply reflected God's goodness to their children, to their grandchildren, and showed them, listen, son, listen, daughter, God is good, and God has done great works in our lives. How different these things would have been. I think things might have gone a little differently, don't you? And yet in our own lives, I wonder how it might affect future generations. I'm talking about children and grandchildren now. I wonder how it might affect our coworkers and those people that work around us and possibly even family and friends if, listen, our life and the theme of our life was the goodness of God and what He's done for us. And I think all of us would agree that it ought to be the theme of our life, shouldn't it? As we gather here on Wednesday night, we've been given spiritual freedom. Listen, we can begin to count our blessings one by one and see God meeting every need and God providing every need. Our lives should be a theme to the goodness of God and all He's done in our lives. And I wonder how that would affect those around us. People that we work with, our family, those things in our lives. Listen, if we simply just magnified the goodness of God in our lives rather than magnify our own personal difficulties. And I'm not here minimizing struggles and difficulties. Listen, I understand that each and every one of us deal with those things, and we're not here to minimize the personal hardships that we go through. But what I'm trying to do tonight is magnify the fact that God is greater than any personal struggle or any personal hardship you and I will ever find ourselves in our lives. Listen, when we get that backwards, we begin to misrepresent or we begin to forget about the goodness of God in our lives and how much He has done for us. I want to make just three brief statements tonight from this passage found in Numbers chapter 20 and back them up with Scripture on the goodness of God. And I think this will be a help to each and every one of us as we seek to live a life reflecting God's goodness in our own lives. The first statement I want to make tonight is this: God will always be there when you're looking for Him. God will always be there when you're looking for Him. In our text here, Moses and Aaron have found themselves in a difficult circumstance, have they not? They've seen this scene play out before, the murmuring and the complaining when people have a need. And after all God had done for these people, and even Moses and Aaron themselves had succumbed from time to time to murmuring and complaining in their own lives. And yet as they sat back and they watched the congregation of the children of Israel, I can't help but think in their own minds they're thinking, here we go again. Found ourselves in a struggle. And these people whom God has delivered time and time again, and whom God has met need after need, here they are, complaining again, murmuring again. And I got a feeling that this would have had to get just a little bit frustrating to them. So they dealt with the situation over and over again. And I want you to see in Moses' reaction to this. And the Bible says in verse 6, and Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly under the door of the tabernacle of congregation, and they fell upon their faces and began to complain to God and say, I can't believe the people that You've given to me to lead through this wilderness. And we'd say, no, brother, that's not what the Scriptures read. In fact, I see a far different story there. The Bible says in verse 6, and Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces. And I love this part because the Bible says, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. You see, when they looked for God, God was right there with them. Here's the goodness of God. Listen, God will always be there when you're looking for Him. In fact, if you find yourself in a time of difficulty, God is there, ready, willing, and able to give you help at any given moment. I love the fact that God didn't say to Moses, listen, Moses, I know you're bowing before me, but give me 24 hours. I'll be there in just a little bit. He didn't say, make an appointment, I'm kind of busy today, I'll come to you later. No, my Bible says when Moses fell upon his face, the glory of the Lord appeared to him in that moment. And what a blessing as we go through life and as we find ourselves in personal hardships. And the Lord is right there, right along with us if we're saved tonight. What a blessing. They just had to enter into His presence. He was already there. Love that thought. You see, I hold a book tonight that's filled with people who had struggles in their lives, dealt with different circumstances and different problems. And listen, these were not minor issues and minor problems. We have people here in this Scriptures who had major ordeals in their lives. And yet I've read that book several times now. And I know you have too. And I don't think any of us have ever come across a passage where God was not meeting the needs of His people and God was not coming through for His people when they were looking at Him to lead them and guide them in their lives. No matter what issues they found themselves in. No matter what personal problems they found themselves in. In fact, David says in Psalms chapter 37, verses 25 to 26, he says this, "I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." And I love the follow-up verse. He says, "He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed." Praise the Lord. For those of us tonight that are gathered here tonight and we are saved in Jesus Christ as our Savior, listen, the Bible tells us that God will not leave us and God will not forsake us. And those that are following after Him, we're a blessed people. God is good in our lives. We find ourselves in a personal hardship and a personal struggle. We need to simply look to Him and we'll find Him there. Listen, that's the goodness of God, but if we're not careful, we'll allow Satan to misrepresent the goodness of God in our lives. Begin to look at our own struggles that we find ourselves in. Begin to focus on the problem. And Satan says, look. He takes our eyes off God and he says, look at your issue. Look at your problem. And we begin to misrepresent God's goodness in our lives. And as we do that, then that message gets sent to those around us. Before long, people are saying, why are they struggling so much? I thought God was good in their life. And we've been misrepresenting God's goodness in our lives. And listen, I'm here to tell you tonight that God in His goodness doesn't allow a trial to take place, or doesn't allow a hardship to take place in the time in which a difficulty to take place in our lives without the opportunity to trust in Him and see the goodness of God firsthand in our lives. He's there for us as we go through these problems. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, the Bible says, "There hath no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with that temptation also make a way of escape, that you might be able to bear it." And God's goodness is clearly seen in our lives, and when we find ourselves in difficulty, God is right there with us. You see, I want you to see, first of all, tonight, that God will always be there when you're looking to Him. God will always be there when you're looking to Him. Second statement I want to make tonight is this. God will always provide when you're looking to Him. God will always provide when you're looking to Him. Go back to our passage in Numbers chapter 20 and we see verse 8. Here the children of Israel, they are, they're in this wilderness. They need water. They go to Moses. They begin to complain and murmur and complain to Moses, and Moses does the right thing. He goes to God. Falls on his face before God, and look at the solution God gives to him. Verse 8, the Bible says, "Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. And it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so that thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink." And I'm wondering if Moses is thinking, Lord, let me get this right. And I'm wondering if the people, the congregation of the children of Israel, because Moses has had somewhat of experience of getting water out of rocks before, and so maybe he's not as doubtful as possibly the children of Israel are thinking here. But Moses is going to go and speak to a rock right here in the wilderness. There's some 2 million children of Israel plus animals, and listen, this was not enough water just to sustain them for that day. No, they would have been able to resupply and be able to take in and store up some water as they went on. But I want you to think about that there. As God gives the command to go to a rock and simply speak to it, and the water would come flowing out of that rock, and there'd be enough water to sustain those children of Israel and give them help for their journey. And you'd say, impossible. There's no way it could happen except for the fact that God did it. Except for that fact that when they were in need and when they looked to God, God will always provide when you're looking to Him. Listen, in case you hadn't noticed, God specializes in making the impossible possible. As we read through our Bible, we see time after time when God has people find themselves in impossible situations and they look to God and God provides a way for them. I love the story that our evangelist spoke on earlier this week of the woman who had the pots and the two sons, and she owed great debts, and they took the oil and filled up those pots, and God allowed that to sustain that situation. Listen, there was a woman there who had two sons that were dealing with an impossible situation. And God provided and God made a way. Listen, in case you haven't noticed, God causes rocks to produce water. Twice in the Scriptures He did that. Listen, He shuts the mouths of hungry lions when Daniel is thrown in the lion's den because God can do those kind of things. He defeats giants. He raises a dead brother back to life. Get this, after 4 days being dead. And these are just simply things that God does because God is good. He specializes in making the impossible possible. And then may I remind you that at one time, our Savior, Jesus Christ, was laid in a grave for 3 days. The disciples looked at each other and said, "Man, we found ourselves in an impossible situation now. What are we going to do?" Well, praise the Lord, on that third day, Christ arose from that grave, defeating death, hell, and the grave. And listen, God makes the impossible possible, but only when we're looking to Him. We're looking for Him to provide a way out in our time of need. And again, listen, just here to say, as we look at our own lives, God has created you and I. The Bible says He has formed us in the belly and He's taken each and every one of us and handcrafted us. And yet you don't think He's powerful enough to sustain you when you're looking to Him? Listen, God wasn't surprised by that bill that came in the mail the other day. God wasn't surprised by that health situation that we find ourselves in. God wasn't surprised by that injury or that hardship. In fact, God already knows the answer to it. He already has a way out. He's already crafted a plan to take care of that. He already knows where the money's going to come from. He's just waiting for you to look to Him so He can provide in your time of need. Oh, what a blessing this night that we think of these two things. God will always be there when you're looking for Him. God will always provide when you're looking to Him. But finally, I want you to see something here from this passage. Number three, Satan will always give you an opportunity to see the bad and forget about God. In the times of need that we find ourselves in, listen, Satan will always give us an opportunity to forget or to see the bad and forget about God and His goodness in our lives. We see there back in verse 3, "And the people joked with Moses and spake, saying, Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord? Why have you brought us up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there?" Listen, I find the children of Israel, they're not focusing on what God has done for them in the past. They're simply focusing on the present problem that they find themselves in. Listen, if God specializes in goodness, I want you to understand tonight that the devil specializes in negatives. Listen, his life is one big negative, and he wants yours to be that way as well. And he fights hard in our lives, trying to get us to take our eyes off God. Listen, the devil knows if you're looking at the problem, you're not looking to the solution, which is God Almighty in your lives. Could God possibly provide water in the desert? I mean, after all, there's 2 million, some 2 million people here, possibly more than that. All their animals, all these things, and we need water. Could God possibly provide water in the desert? And maybe the better question to ask is this. Could God provide food every day for 40 years out of nowhere? I mean, just drop it down from heaven on a daily basis? Could God do that? Maybe we should ask ourselves this question. Could God part the Red Sea, and when we're looking behind us at Pharaoh's army and we're standing in front of us and there's no way to God, no way to go, could God possibly part this Red Sea that we could walk across on dry ground? Maybe we should ask ourselves some of these questions. Listen, could God deliver 2 million people from captivity there in Egypt that had been there for several centuries? Could God possibly deliver these people? And maybe we should ask ourselves this question in our lives. Can God sustain me? Can God meet this need? Maybe I should look back in my past and see where God has come through for me time and time again. God has met need after need. And the present circumstance and the hardship that I find myself in, I can understand that God is good and God can provide as I go through this. But if we only see the negatives in our life, our lives will misrepresent the goodness of God to us, first of all, and then to everyone around us. Possibly to our children. Possibly to those people that we're trying to be a witness to at work. Possibly to our neighbors that God has placed us in that place to be a witness to them. And yet if we're constantly looking at the problem, the negatives in our life, and we're not looking at God's goodness in our lives, we won't see His goodness, and we won't learn to trust in Him, and we won't reflect His goodness to others. Maybe God's allowed this wilderness that I find myself in, this time of need. Maybe He's allowed this wilderness to help me and everyone around me to see His goodness and that He provides for me. Maybe that's what God has allowed us tonight. I encourage you tonight as you think about the children of Israel. Don't look at the problems that you find yourself in. Look to the solution. Look to the God who can solve those problems. Listen, are we forgetting the goodness of God in our lives? I ask you this question again tonight. Am I making the choice to represent God's goodness in my life? Is my life a picture of God's goodness and all that He's done for me? Or does my life represent something far different? To those that will look at me, are they seeing a person that is always focusing on the negatives, the personal hardships, the difficulties that I deal with? Or am I focusing on how good God has been to me and how good God is continuing to be to me and how good God is going to be to me in the future? Listen, those of us who have kids tonight, when they look at mom and dad, do they see a picture of God's goodness? Do they see a family? And listen, I'm not saying that your life is problem-free and that you never deal with hardships and struggles. But even in those hardships and struggles, do they see a mom and dad that look to God for deliverance from those times? They see someone that says, listen, God's going to get us through. Look what He's done for us in the past. Look what He's done for these people in the Bible. He's going to do this for us. Our co-workers, our family, our friends, those around us, when they look at our lives, do they see a life that's reflecting the goodness of God? Not that your life is never dealing with any issues and any problems, but do they see a picture of God's goodness? And the fact that when we find ourselves in a problem, the first person we look to is God. No doubt in our lives, God is good. We have the promise from Scripture. We have our own history to look back on and see the goodness of God in our lives. So listen, Christian, let's be sure to represent His goodness to other people. Let's be sure to reflect His goodness as we go throughout life and as we find ourselves on a day-to-day basis in situations and difficulties and hardships. Listen, we know who to turn to first. And that's God alone. We understand He's always there when we're looking for Him. And He's always ready to provide when we look to Him. But there's a caution there because Satan will always get you to look at the problem and forget about the God who's done so much for you and promised you so much. Are we representing God's goodness in our lives? Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. I thank You for the way that You've listened tonight. No doubt this is the message that God has had for us, and I don't know how God may have used this message in our own personal hearts and our lives. Listen, each and every one of us deal with hardships. Each and every one of us deal with struggles from time to time. But God is there to deliver us out of all those things. We're not going to have a musical invitation. We seldom do on Wednesday evenings, but the altar is always open at the end of the service for those that possibly would want to come and pray. Maybe God's worked in your heart and your life tonight and you just need to come and pray. Maybe we just need to be mindful of God's protective hand and His goodness in our lives. I guarantee you, if you find yourself in a difficult situation, you start counting your blessings, your spirits will be lifted very quickly. And may God just use us as a reminder in our own hearts and in our own lives As we travel through life, as we deal with the trials and the hardships and those things that we find ourselves in, listen, God already has an answer to those things. We just need to focus on Him and follow Him and allow Him to deliver us from those things. Dear Lord, we come before You tonight and we thank You for this story, Lord, the message that You've given us from God's Word. Lord, I pray that we would not forget Your goodness. Lord, I pray that You'd help us as parents and those that, Lord, lead homes to keep that ever in front of ourselves and our children. Lord, I pray for those of us that interact with other people, Lord, that You would help us to keep the goodness of God first and foremost in our lives. Lord, when we find ourselves in a negative situation, that we would not focus on the problem, Lord, but focus on the solution, and that's God Almighty. I pray that You'd be with us, Lord, be with those that have made decisions tonight. I pray that You'd help us and be with us as we come back again, Lord, on Sunday to worship You, Lord. I pray that You'd do a special thing here in Your house this Sunday. We love You and we thank You for these things. In Your name I pray. Amen.